Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It's a spicy London afternoon. I hope you're keeping well. Mine is Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by this man, Mr. Luke Moore. Hello, Luke Moore.
Hello, and welcome to a podcast that is definitively not sponsored by Nalgene.
No, it's not sponsored by anything. Or it might be. I don't know.
Yeah,
find
knows?
Out in the advert. That's something
Nalgene are not
to,
biting, though, are they? They're not biting, mate.
Well, you sent me towards the wholesome Nalgene Instagram page, and I'm not having it. It's all a bit rustic for me.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit outdoorsy. I think if you're not really someone who likes getting out there, then you wouldn't like it. There'd be nothing there for you. But it's all about, like, you know, beautiful sunsets, hiking on trails, all that good stuff. And I just want them to open the door to their hearts and let me in, but they won't. So fuck them.
Yeah. Well, you were good. Well, you were given the big lick saying, you know, zero plastic, you know, zero plastic future. This is what Nalgene stands for. And I said, I mean, they're purely in the plastic game, Luke. I mean, that's exactly what they're...
Not purely.
They're producing more plastic. Yeah, well, all right, some of the accoutrements are maybe metal. But, I mean, they're definitely more making plastic than they're not making.
Yeah, but it's kind of a different type of thing. We've had this conversation before, Peter. You know what you're doing here. I know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing. But then, but I just think it's a bit rich for them to say zero plastic. Or, you know, their idea is by using an Nalgene, you're going to use less disposable plastic. I understand that. But ultimately, you've created more plastic there, haven't you? So it's a bit bloody rich. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. You are embroiled in a years-long Cold War with Nalgene. And... I don't think there's any winners, to be honest. But if there is a winner, it's Nalgene.
What is your dirty, you know, what is your dirty little cosy relationship got you? More Nalgene bottles? Fuck off. They've got you nothing. They've got nothing. Where's your Iran non-proliferation pact? Where's your Paris Climate Accord? You've got fuck all to show for it, mate. You've made a fool of yourself.
Why isn't Luke in the meeting again this week? He's sidling up to big Nalgene. He's got no time. He's got no time for you lot. What's been new? What's going on? How was your weekend, Peter?
Good, good. I for various reasons, had to buy something that was over £2,000. Nothing from Maplin's. No. I had to buy something that was over £2,000. Now, it's literally not important or pertinent to know what it is. It was nothing illegal or problematic. but it's my business. And what I did was, instead of putting the £2,400 into my into the account of the person who I was buying the thing off, I instead opted to put the £2,400 into like an account in sort code number that I have no idea who it is. I just gifted someone, like some kind of benevolent postcode lottery. I've just put £2,000 in a random person's account, and now I'm trying to get it back, and it's proving rather difficult, Luke, and I don't really know what to do.
Yeah, so when I used to work at the bank, you must be pretty unlucky there, because generally speaking, if you get like a digit out on the sort code or the account number, it just gets rejected. But sometimes it can go to like a holding account or something, and it can get lost in the system, or sometimes it just appears in someone's bank account, right? So who do you bank with?
I bank with, well, it's a Monzo account, so it's one of those newfangled kind of
newfangled.
So yeah, it's kind of like the problem is I don't know what the company is that I think it's a company, and I think I've sent that money to the company, but I've sent money to them before. I've sent £30 to them before, but I don't know what the £30 was for. And now I don't know what what they are, where they're based, who to talk to. I'm in a world of pain. But don't worry, guys. I've got into contact with Monzo's pretty decent, usually, customer support, and they're doing all they can. So I don't need any financial advice. I do believe there are rules about, you know, you're allowed, if you don't get it back within 20 days without a good reason, it's illegal to keep money that you're not allowed, you're not entitled to. But at this point in proceedings, I'm a little concerned. I'm sure I'll have an update next week on it. But
I don't think it's
suboptimal.
Yeah, but the thing is, Pete, I don't want to come across as harsh here, and I am very much the bad guy of, well, every podcast I do, I think. But I don't think that you should get the money back. I think it should be a lesson.
of what exactly?
Well, don't do it again. Next time you do transfer some money, you'll be a little bit more careful.
I just think they need to. I've made many transfers in my life, and I've never got one once. Yes, it was very much my fault. I mean, I can't complain. Cannot complain, but I am complaining. I'm very upset. So yeah,
it is? It's quite anxiety inducing, isn't it?
It is. It just makes me think. Well, like, if I can do that, I could probably kill a man, I reckon.
By accident, but kill the wrong man.
Yeah, I'll kill the wrong man. I'll go out and try and kill someone, and then I'll end up ending the stinking life of someone else. So yeah, it's not been a vintage weekend for me. How are you?
Yeah, mine's been okay. I don't think I've lost any money inadvertently. I was outdoor. I was outside quite a bit. Went running. Went for a walk. Did some all right stuff. Yeah, it's been okay. We also, nice. I mean, this is very boring even for me, but we treated the worktop in the kitchen. So the kitchen's been a bit of a no go area the last couple of days. But thankfully, we're going to be able to get back in there today. So that's pretty the highlight of my weekend, really.
Did you take it for an ice cream? How do you treat a worktop?
Yeah, treat it. Yeah, she's been very well behaved. So yeah, have a coolish.
Yeah. So you just took it out. So treated it as in like put a bit.
So you
of
sand, you clean it, you sand it down, you put like oil on it, and then you got to wait for it to dry. And you put another kind of load of stuff on it, and then you can only use it very lightly. And then it's just you've got to look after it because it's solid wood, so you have to. Otherwise, it just falls into disrepair, basically. But Peter, the story that took my eye this weekend that I really wanted to talk to you about, have you seen? You might have seen this already, but have you seen that a Twitch viewer, viewer of the video game platform Twitch, is suing Twitch, which I believe is owned by Amazon, isn't it?
I don't actually know who owns.
I think it
is. Yeah, probably.
Because he said that, I mean, this, just imagine the type of person we're dealing with here, right? Mm. He's suing Twitch because he argues that female streamers are too sexy. So he is A, felt compelled to use a fleshlight that has chafed his penis, B, has bloodshot eyes from ogling too much, and C, this is the best one, short-circuited his monitor by ejaculating on it. The plaintiff ejaculated on his PC monitor, causing a short circuit and small fire within the electrical system of his gaming rig and caused his apartment to black out temporarily.
Look, if we're going to go down that route, I would, I would love this to get to court where an engineering expert has to isolate the contact points in which the monitor has somehow short-circuited, because I don't see how that can realistically happen.
It's everything's a powerful closed spunk.
Everything's electrically shielded. I don't buy it. I don't buy the short circuiting. Fine, you've overused a fleshlight, mate. Good on you. But yeah, I don't think it's really the responsibility.
So Pete,
of,
if you were
Twitch.
The lawyer hired by Twitch to defend this case, that's your first port of call, is it? Right. Let's talk about the housing of the
electronics. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's probably a good place to start, actually.
That's definitely where I'd start, because I mean, A, it's ridiculous. B, I mean, this man is, it's the sort of story you hear about in America where a man has decided to sue his parents for, I don't know, them not being sexy enough or something, like something mad like that. You know, like the Florida men doing,
do you want to hear this? Business. Do you want to hear another one? The plaintiff often stays up for hours staring at the breasts of girl streamers, which ends up damaging his retina and making his eyes bloodshot for days. Eye drops do nothing to hide his shame from his parents, and he is often questioned by people he comes into contact with as to why his eyes are so bloodshot and red, which leads to further embarrassment and isolation.
That's, I'd be asking the same questions about Michael Jordan in the Michael Jordan documentary. Looks like he's been doing a lot of that.
That's cigars and whiskey, though, isn't it?
Ogling the breasts.
That's ogling those sweet streamers. baskets, those sweet three pointers.
Yeah, he's been concentrating he's been concentrating on the net too much. Yeah. That's why his eyes are all bloodshot.
Yeah. Can I just say that for legal reasons, that Michael Jordan is nothing to do with this case?
Unless he's like a star witness, like a surprise witness. And what a surprise that would be.
One of sport's only billionaires. Let's not take him on. So anyway, listen, Pete, why have you been abusing your fleshlight so much? That's what I want to know.
I don't know, man. Like,
do you think that this man in question is so sexually powerful that he's ejaculating with such speed and weight that it's basically smashed through the screen of the monitor?
I mean, I would say that the roles between the Luke and the Pete this week have definitely reversed with that kind of sentence. But
I'm trying to find the subjects you're interested in, mate.
I would argue that a fleshlight is just basically it's a flashlight with a silicon mouth or vagina, I guess, that you fill with lubricant and pound away. what he's probably doing more damage to himself by just constantly hitting him. He's effectively hitting his crotch with, like a plastic tube. So I would argue that side of things rather than the chafing. The chafing, quite frankly, that's between him and his choice of lube. He's clearly chosen an incorrect lube, and that's not Twitch's fault. You can't pin that on Twitch.
Yeah, if you're listening, mate, get in touch and Pete can offer some advice, although you probably won't be listening because there's not enough sweet ladies on the show for you.
No, exactly. Have you ever thought of thermal paste? So, yeah. terrible vision.
Amazing story. Pete, the other thing I've got just to clear up in terms of admin after last week's shows is that after our chat about the genius piece of work in our own minds, because we haven't rewatched it, of the 1996 disaster movie Twister, the Bill Paxton, the late great Bill Paxton's celebrated Hollywood blockbuster vehicle. It's crazy because on the 25th of June, which by my calculations is Thursday, so the day we put out Thursday's show, the news was abuzz that there is a remake in the works, and it's going to be produced by the guy who produced Back to the Future.
Oh, Well, that's just confusing, isn't it?
How good is that? We didn't even know that, did we?
No, we really didn't. Oh, well, never mind. Well,
so there's no actor attached to it yet, but there's someone being the guy who's just directed the new Top Gun movie is being chatted to with a view to direct it. And there's no cast or anything. But, I mean, right. Does it need to be done?
I always get Bill Paxton mixed up with Bill Pullman.
Yeah, Bill Pullman's the president in Independence Day.
Yes.
And very much alive.
He's also in The Sinner at the moment.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot about that. What's that like?
First season, good. Next two seasons, not a clue. I haven't watched them.
Right, okay, because the reason I ask is because it keeps coming up. A couple of people have recommended it to me. But Mimi and I are currently in the middle of the third and final season of Dark, which is honestly so good. I mean, the only thing that could make it better for me, the only thing that would make it sort of more enjoyable for me is the ability to understand what's happening. Other than that, it's flawless, really. Absolutely flawless.
Yeah, I've got nothing to add on that, to be honest, because I haven't watched any of that.
Do you like a subtitled weird time and space drama?
It's the space bit that worries me. You usually trick me into watching something that suddenly we're in space and there's like...
No, they're not in space. I mean, it's just like it's just like different dimensions and stuff, basically.
No.
But the thing I find interesting about Dark is that, so, and I know you've got no interest in this, so just bear with me very, very briefly before we go to a break, is that, so when you think about time travel, Pete, you think that, oh, yeah, but if I go back to the past, I'll muck something up or whatever. Or if I go back, it kind of breaks the continuum. The other kind of grandfather paradox or whatever, yeah? But in this series, they kind of deal with it in a really interesting way. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it or for you, but they deal with it in a pretty interesting way that kind of does make sense. It's really, really weird. It's an amazing achievement of screenwriting, if nothing else. Honestly, it's so, so well done.
Is it every time somebody does something, they go, right, nobody... do anything different
no
than what they were already going to be doing.
Yeah. No one move. Seriously, no one move. Right?
I will not be.
there's now seven people at the dinner table instead of six. Doesn't mean you can't have the beef. Just carry on as you were normally. Do not respond to any of the questions. That's what happens. Dear That's me. What it's like every episode.
I've been watching I May Destroy You.
I've
heard good things about that. It is very good. But I thought it was, we thought it was like a six-parter because we always assume because British stuff is always six episodes and that's all you get. But I think because it was funded by outside sources, you got a few more episodes. So it ends, in my mind, in a really weird way. And I was like, oh, this is weird. To end here, but it turns out there's six more episodes. So I am very pleased with that. And Michaela Cole is incredibly talented.
American dramas are absolutely relentless with the episode numbers. Mimi's watching Desperate Housewives at the moment. That's eight seasons, 180 episodes.
Oh, all that, Sex in the City, all those ones, just like 40 episodes per season. Endless.
We've done on our shows.
Well, but we don't have to put post-it notes on the wall with, you know, plot devices and stuff. It's crazy.
Maybe we should.
Yeah,
then we'll know what we've talked about. Should we have a quick break and then come back and do some emails and some good stuff like that?
All right, then.
All right, we'll be back in a little minute.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection?
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Japan-based YouTuber Chris Broad every Wednesday as we offer the lowdown on what's happening in one of the most unique and exciting countries in the world. The Abroad in Japan podcast is home to all things Japan, from things to do...
So today we've come to you guys with 12 places in Japan that nobody knows about.
...to the bizarre...
When I moved into my new apartment last year, the police guy came to my door, knocked on my door, I opened it, it was a policeman, and he said to me, in English, I am Japanese policeman. And I went, that's the best introduction you could possibly do as a Japanese policeman.
To the downright filthy.
And for those of you that don't know what a tenga is, Pete and I did discuss how to describe it best before doing the podcast, and I'll let Pete describe what a tenga is. What is it, Pete?
It's a solo male silicon-based onanist's aid, so to speak.
Brilliant.
New episodes every single Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Abroad in Japan is a Stakhanov production.
We're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm stifling a little puppy burp. So, Luke, can you take over?
Yeah, of course I will. Before the break, we don't just do it on air. If you're going to stifle it, my man.
Oh, that was the aftermath.
Mute your channel.
Mute your channel. I'm going to let me show what it sounds like when you mute a channel. Back again.
There you go. It works. Example of the tech.
System works.
Before the break, we did promise you the other side that we would do some emails to get in touch with us.
We promised you nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't a promise. It was kind of more of a suggestion. To get in touch, the email address is hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. You email it in your droves. We thank you for it every single waking moment of our lives. We're very grateful. So please never stop, because we'll lose our sense of validation, won't we, Pete?
Yes. And
where'd you get your validation from, Pete?
The Lord and the inventor of the Scouts, Lord Baden Powell.
What, Michael Flatley and Michael... Robert Baden Powell?
Michael Flatley. Imagine his books are apparently a pretty decent read. Remember that was kicking around Twitter for a little while. His weird kind of like... Michael Flatley, he thinks he's some kind of... I think he might think he's a god on Earth. I think you might think he's God's representative on Earth.
Oh, he's one of those. He's done the old David Icke.
No, he's just so full of himself and full of ego. He genuinely thinks he's the lord of the everything. Never mind just the dance.
Well, start off on the dance and then
start off on the dance.
Build out, you know, the lord of the dance to start with, and then that's your stepping stone. That's your platform then. But old Flatley is a bit of an interesting character, because he's astonishingly wealthy, as I'm sure we all know by now. But he's also got some weird things in his kind of locker. One is that he in 2015 he was granted his own coat of arms by Ireland's chief herald. I don't know what that is, but so he's got his own coat of arms. That strikes me as something you could just probably just do, couldn't you?
Yeah, is that not just like buying a bit of moon rock or a bit of land somewhere, like that you're the lord of this piece of land?
oh, I've named a star after you because I forgot our anniversary type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing that's interesting about Michael Flatley is that back in January 2017, when nobody, and I do mean nobody, would play Trump's inauguration, Big Flatters got involved.
Oh, was he up there, was he? I don't even remember him doing that.
I think his troop performed at it, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
And he's also started writing, directing, and starring in his own movies as well. So, what a great
lad. I'm
sure
they're a great watch. I'm sure they are a fantastic watch.
So is this a man that you're supposed to be, I mean, should you be seeking validation from Michael Flatley? Are you happy with that?
Well, he certainly, according to his autobiography, he's bedded a lot of woman. Woman? Bedded a lot of woman.
Who says bedded now?
A lot of women. The newspapers, they go for romps and they bed people.
If you have sex with someone but it's not in a bed, does it still count as bedded?
if it's a mattress on some waste ground?
Where all my sexual conquests take place.
Does that count?
Yeah, what's that? Is that two men over there stripped to the waist fighting? This is waste ground. What do you expect?
Exactly. What else are you going to... When you think of waste ground, what waste ground do you think of? I think of the waste ground near the Hartlepool train station, near the Pizza Hut, but behind the Mecca Bingo.
Mine is similar. I think of the Fratton Goods Yard behind Fratton Park. So kind of between Fratton train station and Fratton Park. But I'll tell you what, I'll amp that up. The top three things that I associate with waste ground. One, two men fighting with their tops off.
Yeah.
Two, a discarded, discoloured mattress. Mm-hmm. And three, four homeless men with beards and fingerless gloves around a barrel with a fire in it.
That's from a film. No, you've never seen that in real life. You've never seen someone warming their hands by a barrel. That's never happened.
It doesn't happen in real life, does it? It's mad.
It doesn't happen in real life. It's silly.
No, I think what are the main... That's a really good topic of conversation, actually. And we should ask our listeners to email in about this. What are the things that always you see in films but that never happen in real life? Right, it's almost like a version of the tabloid language that you alluded to there, Pete, about nookie and romping. Those kind of words that don't exist in real life. What are the scenes that happen in movies that don't happen in real life? One is definitely that you don't ever see that, and certainly not in the UK.
I think I may have seen it in Los Angeles, but I might be just. They've got a massive homeless problem, and maybe I might have just imagined that there was a barrel involved. You see, my two big ones are nobody seems to sleep with the curtains drawn. It's always too bright in their house when they sleep, and also everyone's headrests in cars are always removed for ease of use of.
I've never noticed that before.
They just never have headrests because you need to see the actors, don't you? Because everyone shoots in the back.
That's a good point. On the curtains drawn thing, that's a popular one, isn't it, that people talk about? But the problem is, if you can't shoot a film where, like, several of the scenes are just pitch black.
No, but, like, you can be selective. You could just do it better. Like, some of them, it looks like bloody daytime. It's ridiculous. What's wrong with you people?
My big thing that happens in films all the time, it doesn't happen in real life, is just the weird concept of time. And what I mean by that is, if there's some kind of thing happening where they need to do something by a certain time and there's a timer involved, and so the timer's on 45 seconds, right? And if it gets to zero, it's going to explode something. The sheer length of 45 seconds in a movie is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I've worked in live radio. I know how long 45 seconds is, right? I know how long I've got to do something. Sometimes you'll see 45 seconds, 44, 43, cut to another scene, loads of stuff happens, cut back, 39, 38, it doesn't happen. And another thing that really annoys me, which you don't really see so much these days, this is more of a 90s thing, is when like someone is transferring something online, whether it be money or data or whatever, right? To me, particularly when it comes to money, right? Presumably, money doesn't go up in dollars on a like. Well, as you found out to your detriment,
exactly.
Earlier,
it didn't go. Woo!
It happens.
It didn't go like,
right?
Out of my account. Yeah, there wasn't like an adorable animated GIF of the money flying out of my account into theirs. Although it may have calmed me down a little bit when I realised what I'd done. But yeah, you're right. Like any hacker space kind of made up graphical user interfaces that are neither Unix or Linux or Windows or Mac, nothing ever looks like the thing that it's supposed to be. And I think it's licensing issues. I think they would either have to pay or be paid to feature their products. There's a great sort of YouTube video about the cigarette brands that everyone uses, and obviously the same newspaper that everyone uses that's got very generic information in it, and like soda brands and stuff that everyone uses. Another one for me is just general drink driving. Everyone drink drives all the time.
No, you just described America there. the Hollywood dialing code 555. That's always
555.
Used. But Pete, I was just going to say, with your accidental £2,400 transfer, it's not like you realised like 3 seconds later and stopped it, and they went, "Oh, you transferred £1,600 there. Lucky you stopped it."
Yeah.
It happens in one go. That's just how it is. Anyway, emails. We did promise emails at some point. Yeah. So, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Pete, have you got one ready, or would you like me to go first?
I've got one. Stefan. Shall I go over Stefan's one?
Go for it.
Listener from the very beginning, but first time contributing something that's hopefully interesting. I was listening to your Monday episode a couple of days ago, Dig It. You brought up the Europe versus Asia glass discussion, which led into talk of QI. This reminded me of a topic the QI elves recently covered on their podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish. Never heard of it. Up there with the Luke and Pete Show when it comes to quality listening. The topic in question was mirrors. Not strictly related to your glass chat, but an interesting aside. While glass was widely used in Europe, mirrors were very much rarer during the early modern period. Mirrors were made exclusively in Venice for hundreds of years, with no one else knowing the techniques involved, so they completely monopolized the market. Can you imagine not having access to a mirror and then having a mirror? I mean, it would be like the greatest 4K gargantuan television you've ever heard of and you've ever seen in your life. Like going from not seeing mirrors to mirrors. Like it must be the thing your house had to have, a small mirror.
Didn't we get an email from Dan about this last week as well, but about glass and not mirrors, but about the Venetians kind of aspect to it?
Well, so it goes on. It a small Venetian island, Murano, where the glass blowers lived and the mirrors were made. The mirrors were very expensive at this time, costing as much as a naval ship. So determined were they to get these trade secrets that in 1547, this I think adds to the story before, the Venetian government sent assassins to kill two mirror makers who had travelled to Germany to sell their wares. They would even hold workers' families hostage if they left the island to ensure that they would return. This all fell apart in 1665 when France borrowed some of the mirror makers, though they were still not allowed to watch them work, so they did what any reasonable country would do and kidnapped the workers' families so the Venetians didn't have a hold on them. France went on to build a large hall of mirrors and the Venetian mirror market collapsed. However, during this, all of the poor mirror makers did go insane because of all of the mercury poisoning. So there we go.
Yeah, I can believe that. I think also one thing to take away from that is that if I was in charge of a 16th century Central European government of some kind, I would be sending out assassins probably every day.
Left, right and centre, yeah.
It would just be one of the best parts of the job.
Well, you'd be training them up and then you'd be like sending an assassin out on a job and then you'd realise, oh, now that assassin knows too much. He's getting assassinated. And then you've basically just made an inter-assassin community civil war there in many ways.
I think the first discovery and subsequent early existence of mirrors would be an amazing thing, wouldn't it? Because what other opportunity would people have had to look at themselves other than just some posh sod doing a drawing of them?
Or looking into a sea. What if you weren't near a sea or a bowl of water?
Surely a still pond would be better than a sea.
A still pond, I imagine, yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing for the first time being like, whoa, that's actually what I look like? That would give people an amazing sense of their own self.
Well, apparently, according to Stefan, he just got on the email saying that the Romans did have mirrors well before the Venetians, but the technology was lost during the Dark Ages. How do you forget that? Idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots.
But the problem is, Pete, in 2020, none of us, I mean, you're a bit more technically minded than me, to say the least, but none of us really know how anything works. If someone came from a different world and you showed them around your house and they said, oh, that's brilliant. How does that work? And it could be anything. It could even be just a radiator. How does that work? I would have to say to them, at some point, water is heated into those tubes and it makes the house warmer, and they would just ask one more question and that would be me out of my depth.
Yeah, I'd have that.
So knowledge gets lost all the time is what I'm saying.
The big tech news this week, possibly one of the most important tech changeovers in modern computing. I'm not overselling it, I don't think, when I say that. The Mac, the humble Apple Mac, they're going to be moving away from Intel processors to their own processors. In an iPhone, you've got a processor that's made by Apple, ARM, I believe it's called.
Yeah, I didn't know they used Intel processors. I thought that was like a Microsoft thing.
No. Everything uses Intel processors or AMD. But the Mac has decided, because the iPhone and the iPads, all of the new sort of mobile stuff, is so quick to do all of its calculations at very, very low voltages, they're moving everything over to they're going to be using the same chips in the MacBooks and the Macs and stuff like that,
right.
Which is going to mean, and I am almost certain this is going to happen, nothing is going to work for about 5 years that you want to use on your Mac. You think the USB, they've provided developers with little boxes that allow them to become familiar with the new programming for ARM architecture, and I'm sure a lot of developers are across it. But yeah, I just know that every legacy piece of technology you've used in the last 20 years on your Mac will not work on your new ARM processor-enabled Mac.
When's this happening?
Frightened. I presume the next Mac that comes out will be an ARM processor Mac. I'm worried. I'm scared. There's going to be news stories about it in the next 3 months, and we're all going to be fucked. They've done it because the Intel processors weren't becoming more powerful quick enough, and they were drawing too much energy, whereas the Apple processors are smaller. They don't have to be actively cooled quite so much, i.e. with fans, so they can be smaller. Batteries in MacBooks would last longer. It's all good. It's all good stuff, but it just means that software people are going to take a long time to get all of their shit, all of their ducks in a row. And I'm looking at this computer that I'm using right now, and I'm going to go, the next iteration of this computer is going to be a shit show. It's going to be your granddad watching Jurassic Park and saying, this is going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah. Is it too late to do one of the following? A, go to a cave beneath a nuclear power plant in the fictional German town of Winden and go back in time and stop it. Two, hire a couple of Venetian assassins to kill them before they do it.
To kill the people in charge of Apple. Well, look, that's two options. If anyone's got any other ideas of how we can...
just getting the ball rolling
prevent this terrible thing from happening. Or possibly excellent thing from happening. Do let us know. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com.
Yeah, and we'll be back on Thursday with some of your suggested answers. And possibly, Pete, is it unfair of me to say corrections to that story you've just reported? Or is it you pretty confident on the accuracy of that?
I'm confident on the accuracy, great, probably. But I'm not confident about the terrible things I've said that I want to do to people at Apple.
They'll be fine. They're all right. All right. They wouldn't be worried by a pair of cowboys like us, mate.
We're bad boys for life. All right, then. We'll be back on Thursday. Stay out of trouble. Enjoy the sunshine. And just keep cool. Keep cool, guys. It's hot out there. Suntan lotion.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good for them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.